Again, indeed a privilege and an opportunity for me to teach and preach from God's holy word, and I hope that as we leave this place this morning, we will appreciate the value of God's love. This morning, I thought on a topic to teach or preach from, and today is a very important day in the calendar of the year. I watched my wife this morning before I left. Now we rush out a different direction, and I watched her, and she was waiting for me just to go with. I'm on my way, and just to kiss her. I didn't say much because we had planned to go. Oh, we are planning to go out tonight. But then I thought about the scripture, and I thought, what do you do on a day like this? And then it came to, as I prepared this message, the thought that came to my mind is that we need to speak about the love of God and the love that He has for us. And I'm going to work through the book of Romans chapter 8, a very, very familiar passage that I think most of us know and familiar with, and we must have preached this sermon or these sermons from this particular passage on numerous occasions. I want to use Jeff Redland's outline, and he gives an outline in four areas. I've actually added a fifth one. His area is that God has prized me. You know, when you use alliteration, it's very important and people can understand and follow. God has prized me. The second is that God has provisioned me. Thirdly, God has purified me. And then fourthly, he uses the idea that God has prevailed over me. So I will go through all those four things. But I've added a fifth one. And when it comes to the end of this passage in verses 35, it says, I am now persuaded. And the word that is used in another translation says, I am now convinced. So I will use the convinced part or I'm persuaded as my fifth, as my concluding remarks this morning. And as we look through this passage, we will then see these four areas that I wish to work with. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Very familiar passage, a very well-known passage. And we're going to work through this passage as best as we possibly can. We will start with verse 31. It says, what shall we then say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay any charge to the who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God have justified it? Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ have died? Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake long we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May the Lord add his richest blessing to the reading of his holy word. The Apostle Paul closes this discourse in chapter 8, and he speaks about the privileges and with the believers and the privileges that they enjoy. And after he has gone through the mystery of our position in Christ, that we have been brought back because of what Christ has done to us, he comes now to this particular passage. What more can we say about it? What shall we say to these things? And as he looks at this, he's at the loss of words. The affirmation that what Christ has done in this mystery of our union with him, and the fact that we have been brought back and that we have been redeemed, he says, what more can we say about these things? And as we look at these four areas, I hope that we will find solace in the fact that the love of God surpasses all understanding. That in everything that we do and say, he encompasses us with his love. And let's look at the first thing this morning. It says in verses 31, and I think that's the first area of consideration this morning, and I think it's clear when it says in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the first thing that we need to understand this morning, that he has prized us. Somebody put it this way, that he's on my corner. That is in my corner, that when I go through crises, when I go through difficult, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the word that is used there, the rhetorical question, if, and the possibility does exist that it might be that God is not for us, but he gives us the affirmation here that God is for us in all of these things, that he is there in our difficulties, he is there in the challenges that we face. And he says, if God be for us, who can prevail against us? Or who can hinder our happiness? Somebody has put it this way. Let Satan do all he wants. He is chained and is defeated. And we are more than conquerors because of what Christ has done. So his prize is made me his own. This almighty God, this holy God is on my side. This holy God in Isaiah chapter 6, as Isaiah has this vision of this God who is seated high and lifted up, he says that this God, this holy God, this righteous God is on my side. And so who can be against me? He has prized me, he's brought me to a point of my understanding that is there in my corner. The greatest verse that we know in the Bible, well, I won't say the greatest, but the verse that we all know, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so he has prized me. He's come into my corner and he's saved me and he's made me what I am today. Who can then prevail against us? Somebody has put it this way. When you are disarmed, when you feel conquered, you can triumph in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, who can separate us from this love? Because of the fact that he's prized me. But secondly, not only has he prized me, but he's provisioned me. Look at verse 32. Verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Not only has he prized me, but he has provisioned me. The first phrase that has been used is, spared not his own son. In the book of Isaiah 53, it says, it would please the Lord to bruise him. He's brought us back. He's delivered us from our sins and iniquity. He's freely given us also all things. But the fact that he's prized us and provisioned us, that he has spared not his own son, I'm reminded of the prophet, and his wife was involved in all kinds of atrocities, and he had to go to the marketplace and he had to buy back his wife on numerous occasions. But when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, Christ, God had not spared his own son to provision us, to buy us back with his precious blood. And this morning, when we think of the love of God, we are reminded this morning of this great love that we have. in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he spared not his only Son, but he says, not only did not only spare, but he freely gave us all things, according to the verse. And what are these things? Psalm 34 verse 10 says, all things necessary for us, the things that we need in life, the things that we are anxious about. You're familiar that the Bible speaks about be anxious about nothing, but in everything, in all prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And so he not only died for us, but he gave everything. And so freely we have all of these things necessary for our salvation and for our life. And as we live through this life, we are engaged with all kinds of things. And he's given us everything that we need. And he's there not only to give us all things, but somebody says he's there to make sure that in our life and our love for God, that his love encompasses everything that we seek, because it's freely given to us. But I want to focus on the other two aspects more this morning. But not only has he prized us, he's on our corner, and not only has he provided for us, he spared not his only Son. But the third thing that is very important is found in verse 53 and 54. He has purified us. Look what it says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God that justified, who is he that condemned? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also make it intercession for us? And there are quite a few phrases there that I want to elaborate on this morning, in terms of that, when we speak not only about the prize and the position and the provision, but it's purified. It says, who shall lay anything against, charge against God's elect? And there are three areas that sometimes we think about. The law. And when we think about the law, the verse is very clear. It is God that justified. Our own conscience, sometimes we go through processes of difficulty and we go through this guilt trip. Who shall lay any charge against God's elect? And sometimes our conscience is accusing us. But it says it's God that justifies. The third thing is that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And when he comes with these kind of accusations against us, it is God that justifies. But the thing that the verse also says, who is he that condemneth? And the verse is very clear, it is Christ that died. It's because of our, by virtue of our relationship to Christ, through his death and his resurrection, that he secured us. And so there's no one and no person can point a finger at us, because he has come in our corner this morning and he's made sure that we are purified. But the verse continues in this particular verse, and it says, he's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for all of us. He's our great advocate. In the book of Hebrews, we are reminded that he's our advocate. He's standing on our behalf. He stands there to answer all accusations directed at us. I read a book, I think it was 18, 19 years, I said to my class this morning, when you're a young man involved in college, and I went to Bible college at the age of 18, you always have these guilt that you travel with and problems that you have, and here we are reminded that he's our advocate, that he comes in on our behalf and steps in. And he's seated at the right hand of God, making sure that there's no one who passes this accusation. He intercedes for us and makes clear that he pleads on our behalf. And this morning, if you are sitting here and you're wondering about some of the charges against you, some of the things that you are carrying, and this book I read when I was 18 years at Bible College, spoke about, the title was The Guilt Trip. The people in this book walked around with this baggage and they could never get deliverance. They could never move away from their past. And every time we advocate that Jesus is our advocate. And you might be saying this morning, there are things in my life that nobody knows about. There might be things in my life that I've done that I'm truly ashamed of. He's your advocate this morning. He steps in your behalf and he comes and he intercedes and makes your plea, because he's made sure not only is your, are you his prized possession, not only has he provided, God has provided his own son to die for you this morning, but this morning also he has purified us. You know the book of Revelation, chapter 5, the word comes as, who is all worthy to open the scroll? And the voice comes, the spotless Lamb of Christ. And because he's paid the penalty for you and me this morning, we have an advocate who stands on our behalf. Don't let the devil rob you of the joy and the happiness that you find in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, as you think about that, he's purified you. But then he comes further and he says he's prevailed over us. Look at this. And this is found in verse 35. What shall we say separate us from the love of Christ? Our tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What he's saying in that particular verse is that the present calamities that we face will not separate us from God's love. The inability of these things to separate us from God's love is impossible because of what he's done. Somebody says Christ has not loved us less, irrespective of what we've done in the past. His love continues every day. Paul stood before Nero and everybody had deserted. And this is found in 2 Timothy, and everybody had deserted Paul. And as he stands before Nero, and he has to answer, he says, I have this testimony to give because of the love of God in my life. And I want to say to you this morning, nothing will be able to separate you from God's love. In verse 37 it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. That's the triumph of the believer this morning. The triumph that the believer has, we are more than conquerors. And what it actually says in a little bit deeper understanding says, we are patiently bearing through our difficulties, but we become more than conquerors because Christ stands on our behalf. The afflictions that abound and the difficulties that we experience, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. It's only through Christ that loved us, through the merit of his death and taken out the sting of death, that we are strengthened this morning. And then he uses the phrases there. He says, our tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And he gives a list there. And when you look at this list this morning, everything that you and I are experiencing, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. And then he says in verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ. And as you prevail over the difficulties of your life, as you go through the difficulties of the challenges that you face, as you go through the difficulties of those who falsely accuse you, remember this morning that the life of Christ is so great in our lives that we are more than conquerors through all of this. And then he comes and he concludes this. And he says, and I think this is the crux of it, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And those are a few phrases that I just want to highlight, he says, which is very, very important this morning. He says, "For I am convinced, I am persuaded, after looking at what God has prized me, and then his provision he bought me, and then he's prevailed over me, over all the difficulties I experience." And then the fact that when he comes to the conclusion, he says, "I am convinced. I am persuaded." And what are the things that he's persuaded about? The terror of death. I preached at the sermon not so long ago, and I said, Shakespeare speaks about the atrocities of death, and he speaks about, the poet also speaks about the fact that death robs us of our loved ones. But when we look at the life of Christ this morning, he says not even the terror of death can separate us from the love of Christ. Or the comforts of life, the pleasures of life, sometimes we have everything that we need, and we think that we don't need God. He says the love of Christ is so important in our lives that not only the terror of death, but the comforts of life, the pleasures of life, will not be able to separate us from the love of Christ. He further says, no angels or principalities, whether they be good angels or bad angels, and this is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, Colossians 1, verse 16, Ephesians 6, verse 12, Colossians 2, 15. None of these things will be able to separate us from the love of God. And then he says, no things present. There might be a sense of trouble in your life right now. There might be a sense of trouble in my own life. He says, no, nothing. Or things to come. The future, we don't know. He holds the future now in his hands. He holds us in his hands. We don't know what will happen in the future. But he says, even whatever calamity strikes us, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. He says, neither height or depth. The height of prosperity, somebody says, and preferment. Nor the depth of adversity and disgrace. So when we go into a period of good times, or period of distress and disgrace, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. And then he says, no any other creature, anything that can prevail over us, or any thought that will capture our thinking to take us away from the love of Christ, he says nothing can impair us from the love of Christ, because God is love. Morning, my brothers and sisters, as we focus on this passage, I want to, by way of repetition this morning, say to you, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul was at the loss for words as he thought, as he set forth the mystery of God in us through Christ and the privileges that we have. He says, yes, he's made sure that is provided for us through his only Son. And that is freely given us all things. So there's nothing that we need. I like the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we need to be content with what we have, because he will provide everything that we need. He's purified us this morning. Nobody can point the finger. It is God who justifies it. And then prevailed over us. We are more than conquerors. Whatever we might be going through, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. And therefore, he said, I'm persuaded this morning that all of these things, death, life, angels, principalities, height, nor depth, all of these things will not keep us from the love of Christ. You take this message this morning and think about those loved ones who don't know the Lord, who've never made a commitment to the Lord, that the greatest thing that you can do for them today, not only to pray for them, but to express God's love to them. So as you celebrate this day, and you think about this day, think about the love of Christ in our lives and what he's done for us. He's bribed us. He's provided for us. He's prevailed over us. And Paul says, now I'm not persuaded. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. Pastor Lance, will you close us in prayer, please?